They had the plug pulled on a trip to New Orleans last spring. That was 5 months ago. We forge on Twitter. Use the handle at GoDucksKG. Chat up Kelly Graves. Coach, been about 2.5 weeks since we last spoke. How is Team Graves doing here in mid-August?
Doing pretty good. My youngest son, Will, came back from Spokane. He's been working out with the Zags, and so they're all three of them here for about a week. So that'll be kind of fun, hanging out with the boys a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I know you guys like to enjoy yourselves, and a couple games of horse, a little bit of this. I'm sure you'll be fine.
Yes, we'll be watching a lot of NBA over the next couple of days.
Oh, sure. But I got to ask you about
the Blazers, man.
That's completely off the charts. But I would be remiss if I didn't ask you about Mr. Kelly first pitch. Some years back, I threw out my first pitch at Civic Stadium. Two summers ago, I threw out a first pitch at PK Park. And I'll tell you, I got a bit of an ego. I hadn't played baseball in a while. I got my son out on the field, and I threw a bunch of pitches from a regulation mound to show I was sharp and could pop the glove. How much prep work did you put in before your moment?
Zero. But you know, the difference is, Steve, you probably threw from the mound, right?
Of course.
Because that changes things. You know, I've thrown a first pitch out at Safeco and one at PK Park as well. And if you get up on that mound and throw it, it's harder than I was on a flat surface. That's not so bad.
Yeah, what happened with me is at Civic Stadium, I threw from the pitching rubber. But by the time they moved to PK Park, the groundskeeper didn't want any of us messing with the mound. So we had to throw in front of it. I was like, man, I've been practicing at 60 feet, 6 inches, but I pulled it off.
It was pretty cool. It's kind of surreal to be throwing a virtual first pitch, you know, in Matthew Knight Arena. But It was an honor to be asked, and I thought it was pretty cool. They did a good job. They put it on the big screen, in front of no fans, but that was kind of cool. And I love the M's. You know, I've always been an M's fan.
Yeah, I wanted to, because by the time you went from St. Mary's to Spokane to take the Zags gig, it was 2000, and the Mariners were about to embark on a really good run. They were in the American League Championship Series. They were contenders in 02 and 03. So I'm curious, just even though you were across the state, how big were those Mariner fans of Ichiro, Olerud, and Edgar where you were on the other side of Washington?
Well, during 2001, the year they won 116 games, the boys were at an age where they started to really like baseball, and we were still having family dinners then. They weren't so busy as teenagers and, 9 and 10 year olds that they were doing sports every night. And so we would sit around and watch the Mariners that whole season. So we really developed a strong love for them. That was an amazing summer. When they won those 116 games. I love that team. They were fun to watch. And we had good family memories, I think, right through then.
Oh, absolutely.
So they've always kind of been special. And I used to take the boys over to Seattle. We'd catch a businessman special, like on a Wednesday afternoon, or watch a game, spend the night, and then watch the businessman special, the get-out-of-town game,
right,
and then drive back to Spokane. And it was fun. It was fun doing that.
No, with Pinella, that was a really special time for baseball in this part of the country. I'm talking with Oregon hoop coach Kelly Graves. So as if the year 2020 should already be jailed for robbery, whether it was what happened with your team, Dane Altman, now football, the Olympic trials, now we get the WNBA wobble. We're watching Sabrina. She gets hurt. What was your reaction when you saw her tweak her ankle? Were you like, what's next?
Yeah, it didn't look good because, you know, it was a non-weight-bearing injury. So you could tell, okay, this is serious. We were fortunate enough to talk to her that night and, confirm that it wasn't good. But it just, my heart sunk because she was just coming off that 33-point game And you could see, I talked to her coach a couple, you know, maybe the next day, and just said, you know, your team's getting better. You can tell in just three or four games they're getting better. So she would have obviously helped them, you know, really carve out a pretty nice season for themselves. But I felt so bad for her, you know, and like you said, what else could go wrong in 2020?
Actually,
my goodness, let's get this thing over with.
Yeah, I don't even want to know the answer to that. So yesterday, there was another national article written about Satu in the Undefeated. And obviously, we know the kind of player she is. We know she's also as young as any player in the WNBA. But how impressive is it to see not only see her adjust her game, but just dive right into all the activism in one of the most socially and issues-oriented leagues in the country?
Well, you and I have talked about that before with her. I mean, she is not afraid to put herself out there. Very socially aware, not afraid to opine on any injustice that she sees. She's a very confident person, very knowledgeable as well. You don't just do that haphazardly. I mean, she does it because she has a real passion for it. And I think you and I have probably spoken about this too. It wouldn't surprise me if she one day is, the president of the Players Association. And then maybe later on the Chancellor of Germany. I mean, she's got such a bright future because she's very thoughtful, very intelligent. And now she has this platform. So I'm really proud of her both on the court and off the court. And I've often said she's the most interesting person I've ever coached. And a lot of it comes from, you know, her belief system, you know, and not just her game.
Yeah, her level of worldly for her age is off the charts.
Oh, yes, amazing.
As for Ruthie and the Sky, I think there was a logic going in that this was a much better team and she would be more eased in as a rookie. I know in the Seattle blowout, she played about 20 minutes. Otherwise, she's 8, 9, 10 minutes a night. Obviously, she plays with an elite point guard like Vandersloot. So how do you like how the Hammer is coming along early in her pro career?
You know, I think she's had a real impact. You know, she's carved out a nice role for herself. She's making the most of the minutes she gets. You know, I'll check the box score and I'll see if she plays maybe 9 minutes. Because I haven't been able to see all the games. I try to catch most of them. But, you know, she'll play 9 minutes and get 6 rebounds, you know. So she's making the most of the time. I've talked to Courtney on a couple of occasions, and they're really high. They think she's doing great. She's giving them just what they expected. And you never know in this business, you know, what might happen, an injury, a positive test, and then bam, she's got to jump in and play more. So, I know she's going to be ready for that, but she's got such a great attitude. If there was any of them that could handle that kind of a role, it would be Ruthie, because she's just so team oriented and just kind of goes with the flow. And So I'm really happy for and proud of her. I think, you know, there's a picture that I retweeted yesterday of her and Courtney just kind of hugging, you know,
yep,
as they're going off the court. What a priceless picture. And it just shows that I think those two have developed a nice little friendship.
Talking hoops with Coach Graves. So your teams, one would naturally equate with dead-eye shooting. When it comes to the three-point line, last 5 years with the Ducks, you've been nationally first a couple times, second, third, fourth, but like Eric Scopel wrote today, you're thinking with Boley and Chavez and Shelley returning, plus the new faces like Taylor Mike Sell, not only will that continue, but you think this group might be the equal of any you've had, and that's kind of saying something.
Oh my goodness, it's the thing that I marvel at every day. And I'll just give you a quick example. We run a drill called Red Light, Green Light. I won't explain it. I won't take that time. You can look on my Twitter feed and you can see the drill. And we've mentioned this at every webinar. I taught it at the Final Four. So we've got hundreds of coaches in high schools and colleges all across the country running this. And I always tell them, when you get a special score, you know, DM me or text me and let me know what it is. Well, the best score ever is 42 by Lexi Bando, you know, one of the best shooters in the
right
history of the NCAA. Well, the other day, Taylor Mike's on a workout, this is just this week, not only tied her record now, she's only done this drill for a few weeks. She just got on campus. That's how good a shooter she is. She ties Bando's record. It was literally 1 hour later. Bowley comes in and has one of those shooting days and one-ups it. So now she sets the all-time rank. Now, this is a drill that literally hundreds and thousands of kids across the country, college athletes, are running and shooting. So that I got two of the best shooters this drill in the country on my team. And Tahina Pau-Pau can really shoot it. You already mentioned Taylor Tadas and Jazz Shelley, but Sydney Parrish is an elite shooter. Maddie Shearer has come in, and she's really surprised. I told her the other day, she says, man, you're a better shooter than I thought you were. You know, and I knew she was a pretty good shooter, but these are dead eyes. So we're going to have an opportunity to put a bunch of kids out on the court at all times that can really shoot it. Niara Savali and Sedona Prince as well at 6'7 and 6'4 can really shoot it. Angela Dugalich is, as we call him, Damian Lillard's. They're shooting Lillard's in practice. So it's kind of fun to see. We don't have one person on our team that isn't considered a very good shooter, and then several of which are, I would consider, absolute dead eyes.
Couple final thoughts. Speaking of shooters, we've mentioned him a couple times, but Damian Lillard, these last three games, scoring more than 40 points, more than 50 points, more than 60 points. Last night, he took a dribble across half court shot from Jerry West. So in general, how much you enjoying he, the Blazers, and the whole NBA bubble?
So much fun to watch. And I know Damian personally. He's been down to watch a couple of the men's games. I was fortunate enough to sit with him a couple of times. He actually came back and spent halftime in our locker room. You know, I just asked him, you want to get out of here? Because everybody wanted his autograph. So he came back and hung out and drank Gatorade and met with a couple of our players. So I'm a fan of his. But my goodness, how about this? How about a horse game between Steph and Damian? You know, a pay-per-view event. You know the kind of people that would draw? How about you and I promote something like that?
Nothing inside 35 feet.
Oh, no, that would be considered a layup. No layups allowed, you know? And, my goodness, it's just so much fun. And I'm a Laker guy because I like LeBron, so I'm pulling for them. But if they end up, you know, winning that play-in game, I'll tell you what, it's going to be a tough draw for the Lakers in the first round.
Well, normally
beat somebody 4-0 and save LeBron's bodies for the subsequent rounds, but man, I don't think that series would be a 4-0.
No, I agree. And normally a sub 500 team against the number one seed, you'd figure it's a blowout. It's just, I don't want to tell you how just odd things are now, so who knows. But lastly, obviously the news broke about the Pac-12, and so for the calendar year, that's it. So with the hope that perhaps you can resume in early 2021, so is there any kind of plan now with your student-athletes, or at this point, with the announcement still so fresh, are you in more of a wait-and-see mode?
Well, we're still in a little bit of a wait-and-see, but I think that announcement's helped us maybe build in one more break in the fall for, you know, where our team might be able to go home. You know, as it were, we were thinking of maybe one break. Now we might build in another break, especially if they don't have classes, you know, in person. So it was unfortunate. I think you and I have spoken about that. I've all along figured that it was just probably going to be a conference-only season this year. So I didn't take the news quite as badly as some people,
right?
But it's just a shame, you know. It's just a shame, and let's hope that by January 1st we, you know, are going to be able to play. We still got some work to do, and people still need to be smart,
sure,
you know, how they're conducting their business and their daily lives. So let's do the right thing, man. Let's get this thing licked best we can.
All right, so between now and then, the goal is 43 in red light, green light. So learn the drill, perfect it. He's Kelly Graves on Twitter, at GoDucksKG.
Hey, Steve, if anybody out there gets 43, call me. You can give them my number. I give you permission.
Absolutely.
Because
I'm
that means they should be playing somewhere.
All right, well, I'm going to be Googling it, and I'm going by my sons the other day. We're ready to start hooping again, so I'll let you know what my score is.
Okay.
Again, on Twitter, it's at GoDucksKG. Coach, always my pleasure. Wishing you and yours continued success and health, and we'll catch up soon.
Thanks, Steve. Take care, buddy.
All right, take it easy.